Right. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 1 in a second. As I listen to that song, I think of my salvation. I think of one of my favorite verses. It says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Way early on, when I first got saved, I was about 24 years old, someone said, "Make it personal, for God hath made Christ to be a liar for Bill Swain." I'm the one that put him on the cross. And I rejoice in the fact that there was a day when I understood he took my sin and I received his righteousness.
Amen.
And what a blessing. I love that song. Crown College, Brother Sexton carried in his heart 13 years a desire to start a college to train young men and women to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1991, he started Crown College. The purpose of the school, help young men and women know what it is to walk with God and to find what it is that God has for their lives and to do it, be equipped to do that. It is a good place. All my children and two of their spouses graduated from there, so I figure it's pretty good. And I'm thankful for it, the training they received. So pray for us. Pray for the school. This is a hard time. All you in Michigan understand that. I'm a Michigander. You know, economics aren't the greatest. But you know what? There's a God in heaven, and he doesn't have any problem with the economic situation. And so we're rejoicing in what God has for us and what he's going to do. We do have a table out here. We have CDs. I'm going to give you a real special tonight. We usually sell them 2 for $10. No, 2 for $20. Tonight we're going to sell them $10 each. So you can get some CDs out there, okay? You get 2 for $20 or 1 for $10. It's a good deal. And we also have books out there. I think it's 3 for $20. Is that what it is for the books? All right. And you make use of that. Good music, some good material. That I think will encourage you that Brother Sexton's put together the written material is excellent. And hope you get some and look it over. I'm going to read starting in chapter 1 of Colossians, starting with verse 9. We'll read down probably through verse 14. I ask that you follow with me as we do that. It says in verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Lord, I thank you for your book. I thank you that it is a sure word. I thank you that it's quick and powerful. And Lord, I pray tonight your word would speak to hearts and to my heart. I pray that I'd be very attentive to your spirit. Help me to say just what you'd have me to say. And Lord, I thank you that we can gather here together. We do thank you for the freedom that we have here in America. And we thank you for those that really have sacrificed their all that we might have this freedom. And Lord, I'd pray that you'd burden our heart for our country and the need it has for Christ. And Lord, I'd pray that we'd understand the fields are white unto harvest here as well as around the world. Bless now this time in Christ's name. Amen. I love to look at the prayers that we find in the Bible. The truth of the matter is most every time I read one, I realize what an anemic prayer life I have. I want you to look at this prayer with me tonight. As Paul prays for these people, these Colossians, he's never met them. He's never been to their home, and he's never been to their city, but he loves them as brothers and sisters in Christ. And he comes to this point, and he says in verse 9, "For this cause..." If you go back to verse 4, it says, "Since we heard of the faith of your faith in Christ Jesus." The cause was that they'd heard of their salvation. This prayer is for people that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's been a day in their life where they've acknowledged their sins and they've received that righteousness that only Jesus Christ can give, and they're now on the way to heaven. This is a prayer for every person in here that's saved, but I'll just say this. This is a prayer I prayed for my children every day. And I think you'll understand why that would be as we look at it. It says here, as we read this, if we look at the words itself, it says, to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. Every time I read that, I think of that statement, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. Now, I think about that. How in the world could Bill Swain or any of us be worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ? How could I be worthy of the price he paid on the cross? How could that possibly be? How could I put myself on a scale and say, oh yeah, I was worth it? I think I would find that hard to fathom. And as I read that, I always think about that, but the answer is right here. If you look at the little word at the beginning of verse 10, it says, that ye might walk worthy. What's the that? We'll go back and look at the few words before it. That ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The greatest truth I can understand for my life, and the greatest truth you can understand, I think, for your life, is this simple truth. We've been bought with a great price. I'm not my own. I don't have a will. And as I think of my life, I have to say, hold it, how can I be worthy of what Christ has paid? It tells me. I find God's will for my life and I do it. That's all there is to it. It hurt me. I mean, I almost gave up on Michigan when Detroit Pistons traded for Allen Iverson. What in the world were you guys thinking? But anyway, but how in the world could somebody like him be worth millions and millions of dollars a year? That's so ridiculous. You know how? Because there's somebody, I guess, that thinks, well, if he scores 20 points a game and whatever, 4 assists, he's worth it. If he fulfills what that man thought he was supposed to do. And you and I can be worthy as we think of our lives and we say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do with this day? See, what I want to do is I want to think of God's will, especially if you're younger. I was younger once. In the future tense. But you know when God's will starts for you that we're talking about here? The day you're saved. The day you're saved. When I'd been saved 24 hours, God already had a will for my life and how he wanted me to spend it. He'd already determined what he wanted me to do with my life, not just 5 years from then, but right now. And what we do is we always want to think of this passage or this idea of finding God's will. Well, that's for somebody that's going to be in the ministry. Well, that's somebody that's going to be a missionary. No, that's for every one of us. We think about America. Think about your Jerusalem and Judea. Now listen, part of God's will is that all come to repentance, and I just want you to know, he's got some people you're supposed to talk to tomorrow. You're supposed to be a witness tomorrow. You're supposed to be a light in this crooked and perverse nation. You're supposed to shine as a light. And God has, as parents, you know, hello, what are we supposed to do? How about a family altar? We know, you know, this isn't hard. It's just we don't like it all. You know, how about my time? When do I get to do it my way? If you're right with God, I guess never. But he does promise that what? He'll work in us to will and to do. God wants to put that desire in our heart that what God would have for us. But it's a daily attitude that says, Lord, what is it that you have for me today? What ministry would you have me be a part of? What is it that you want me to accomplish with my life today, next week, this next year? As I think of God's will, I always think of Paul. My testimony isn't quite as exciting as Paul. There was no bright light and all that went with that. But I'll tell you what, I hope that in my heart I was with Paul when he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? There's nothing greater for you or I to spend tomorrow the way God meant for us to spend it. And when we put our head on that pillow, be able to have no regrets. I bought up the opportunities God gave me. I fulfilled the responsibilities God gave me. That we might walk worthy. Now, what's some indication? How might I know that I'm in God's will? How is it that maybe there's some things that I can look for that would give me some assurance of the fact that I'm in God's will? Well, it's in this passage as he continues to pray. He says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. The fact of the matter is, if you and I are in God's will and we're doing what it is that God has for us to do, then there ought to be fruit. Now, that's what we're here for. The fact of the matter is, Christ said he came to seek and save that which is lost. And he says in John, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. My responsibility is to go out and seek and to save those that are lost. The responsibility, the big part of God's will for my life is that I might find people that are lost and tell them about Christ. Now, I can't save anybody, but I can tell them. Amen. I can put a track in their hand. I can tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I can go through some Bible verses for them. Now, God's got to do the transformation, but he can use me to see that they're saved. And a mark of you and I being in God's will is that there's fruit. Now, if there's not fruit, and I believe I'm where God wants me, then there's only one other little thing we have to deal with. Maybe there's sin in my life. In other words, I could be a bus captain, and that's exactly what it is God has for me to do. But because I'm not walking with God, I'm not doing it in His strength, and I'm doing it in my own strength. I'm not right with my wife. I'm not the father I ought to be to my children. You know what? That may affect my fruitfulness. And so as I think of my life, and I think about this good and perfect will that God has for my life, and I want to walk in it, listen, as I do that, one of the things that I ought to see is I ought to see some fruitfulness. And I ought to be the kind of person God can bless. You know the verse, but look in James with me, chapter 1, just for a second. James, chapter 1, again, you know it, look at verse 22. What's it say? But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Hey, listen. When I understand what it is that God has for me, when I understand what it is that God's doing in my life, trying to mold me into the person that He wants me to be, or I understand that this is what it is that God has for me to do, then I have to do more than know about it. I need to do it. That's the hard part. Is there anybody in here, and I don't want you to raise your hand, that doesn't believe that one of our responsibilities before God is doing God's will is that we should read the Bible? Well, how you doing? How many would say, you know what? I really understand that memorizing Scripture is more than just for people that are in vacation Bible school. It's for me. I'm 60 years old, and you know what I'm supposed to be doing? Memorizing Scripture. Meditating on it. Now, the problem isn't here. The problem is following through. Being a forgetful hearer, making excuses. You know, I'm old now, it's a little tougher. And that is true. But I don't think that's going to hold up in the court before the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can go on and on. I need to be a doer now. I want to be blessed. Look at verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. One of the great truths as we think about this idea of being worthy and walking in God's will, God is not going to bless me and I'm not worthy because I know what I'm supposed to do. It isn't even going to happen because I want to do it. It's going to happen because I do it. And I challenge you, hey, what is it that God has for you? Start with the little things. You know, I get sort of caught up with Eliezer, and I just love that one phrase as I read it that says, in the way the Lord led me. You know what? As I do those little things that I know God wants me to do, then God's going to take care of the big things. He's going to take care of those. You know, if He wants me to be a missionary someplace, He'll let me know. Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Well, let's do what I know I'm supposed to be doing today. And God will take care of the rest. And as I'm in God's will, one of the things I ought to notice is there's some fruitfulness. Look at what else it says. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Look, God wants us to love Him. That's the first and great commandment. When I read John 4, it says that He seeks those that would worship Him. And God wants us to know Him and increase in my understanding of Him as a person and who He is and the relationship that I can have from Him. He wants me to see how He's working in my life. You know, we have a sister-in-law, and real unexpected, 40-some years old, riding with her husband. He has a job, a business, and she went with him one day and was coming down towards Detroit, and he had some people he had to see and everything. She started having a headache. And they stopped and got her some ibuprofen, and it just didn't seem to help. She was having this terrible headache. So Rick says, I'm just going to take you home. I'll see these people tomorrow. And he starts back, and she starts saying, you know, my arms are starting to tingle. My hands don't feel right. And as he was going back towards Saginaw from Detroit, she says, she started having trouble breathing. And so he was in the Flint area coming up 23, so he cut across and went to Genesis. By the time she got there and got checked in, she was paralyzed totally from her neck down. They had her on a respirator. She has some fancy disease, I can't remember the name, but that is the only hospital within, other than Ford, that has the expertise and knowledge of what to do to help her. Yeah, I think in the way the Lord led her. She's in the hospital now. She's been there almost 3 months. The girls went up. We sang for her. She had a great testimony. And she talked about things. People have given them wheelchairs worth $7,000-$8,000 and all this kind of stuff. But then when she was talking, we'd heard about that. But when she was talking, she said, you know what happened? Oh, they put a valve in so she can talk a little bit while on the respirator. And that was really a blessing. He says, you know what? Just yesterday, somebody gave Rick 10 boxes of rubber gloves so when I get home, he can take care of me. But she was excited about 10 boxes of rubber gloves. But you know what she was most excited about? She got tears. She said, for our whole married life, I wanted Rick and I to read the Bible together. But I didn't nag him. And then she cried and she said, we read the Bible together now. Too bad it took all that to get his attention though, huh? We're praying that the Lord will help her start breathing on her own so she can go home. But you know what? In it all, God's getting the glory, and there's good things happening. They're being a witness to all those people at that hospital. And we need to understand that, you know what they're learning? Rick will tell you, he's learning to know God. He's seeing God provide and lead and guide. Put him in the right place at the right time so that she could have the care she needed. She could have stayed home. She would have probably died. They could have went to a different hospital. But God took care of all that. Amen. And so in our lives, listen, as I'm in God's will and I'm performing God's will in my life, I ought to see fruitfulness. I ought to see an increase in the knowledge of God. I ought to understand how He works in me and through me, and I ought to see it. I ought to be aware of what's going on. Open up our eyes, Lord, and help us see what You're doing. Verse 11 says, strengthened with all might. You know what we ought to understand as we're involved in God's will? There's no way I can do it in my own strength. God, I need Your strength. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord that He enabled me, that He counted me faithful, that He put me in the ministry. And as I think of my life and I think of this idea of walking in God's will, listen, there's no way I can do God's will for my life in my own strength, because God's going to call on me to do something that I can't do so that He gets the glory. That's called faith. You know, I had a lady who worked in the bus ministry with me for years. Great lady. Her husband was our very first bus captain. And she said, well, I'll help Mike, but I don't ever want to have a bus route of my own. Now, you all know what happened, right? Okay, she ended up with a bus route of her own.
And she said, well, I got a bus route on my own, and that's good, and I enjoy it, but I'm never going to teach a class. Yeah, she ended up teaching high school inner city girls. And you know what? When she went in there on Sunday, she knew she wasn't going to do it in her strength. Yeah. And God blessed. Look at it. God wants us to know his strength. Our problem is we never put ourselves in a position where it's got to be God's strength and not me. We say, no, that can't be God's will. There's no way I could do that. That's the indication it probably is God's will. And so as we walk in God's will, hey, what, we should be fruitful. We should increase in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and God himself. We ought to understand that God's the one that gives me strength, and I can do nothing without him, but with him I can do anything. And then the last thing, look at verse 12. As I walk in God's will for my life, there should be a giving of thanks. I'm telling you right now, if you're disgruntled and you're not happy, you're not where God wants you. That's all there is to it. If I'm in the center of God's will, there's nothing that can come into my life that I can't say, thank you, Lord, because I understand that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. And I can give thanks in everything. When I find myself feeling sorry for myself, I know there's sin in my life, or I'm out of God's will. I mean, pastor's not in the confessional, but I'll tell you my story. This morning, did you guys know it was raining this morning? Was anybody up this morning when it was raining? It was raining hard where we were up there in Ypsilanti. It was raining hard. And we were upstairs in a prophet's chamber, a real nice place. You just can't believe how many suitcases and all this other stuff my wife needed for one night. We had two suitcases, two things of hang-up clothes, my computer, my printer, and all these other things. And I'm running up down the stairs, carrying this stuff out, put it in the van. And what's my wife doing? Combing her hair, you know, and all that kind of good stuff. And it's pouring rain out there, and I'm out there in that van, and I couldn't get the stuff in because stuff had fallen down, so I was taking stuff out of the trailer, trying to straighten it out. And I was really feeling sorry for myself. I mean, life is tough. I'm staying out here in the rain with all these suitcases, and I have to go to the house to pick up all theirs next. This is not good. And in the middle of all that, the Lord gave me this thought. Yeah, Paul never had it this tough. And it caused me to laugh at myself and say, Lord, please forgive me. what a jerk. You know what? I thank God for where he has me and what he has for me to do. And I can do that because I believe with all my heart I'm exactly where God wants me. Hey, there isn't anything more important for me at 60 or you at 21 than you find God's will and do it today. And I can go on. It may be that God's will for you today is to find somebody that you need to forgive and make it right. I don't know. But God's will, it is the greatest blessing we'll ever have. You know why? Because when I'm in God's will, I know he's with me. I know he'll enable me. And I know he's going to bless me. That's a pretty good deal. Let's pray.